Welcome into Vern's post-game show.
Went to his left, picks it up, spins, jumps, throws to first. In time, he got him. Wow!
Here's Royals insider Josh Vernier.
And game one goes to the Yanks. Good evening. I'm ready to hear from you. I'm ready to talk about it. Phone lines are open. If you were one of the more than 24,000 in attendance tonight, we're not going to make you wait on hold. You get right to the front of the line. Phone number, the text line number, they're identical. It's 913-586-7610. Again, 913-586-7610. All right, so the Royals lose 4-2, the final score. New York, listen, the Yankees own the best record in all of Major League Baseball, and you saw why tonight. Now, it wasn't what you would expect, right? The Bronx Bombers come to town with the best record in Major League Baseball. You're expecting some big flies tonight. Well, that did not happen. No, just a bunch of singles, a few bunts, some great pitching, a great approach at the dish. I mean, we can go top to bottom. Carlos Rodon takes a no-hitter into the fifth inning, finishes this one with seven innings of one-run baseball. He was fantastic. Offensively, you look at that first inning, the first inning approach from Juan Soto and Gleyber Torres and Ryan Verdugo. A great opposite field approach against a pitcher that is trying to use your ego against you. He's keeping you off balance. You're not going to be able to stay one step ahead of Seth Lugo. Don't try to get cute. Just try and hit it back to where it was thrown. Hit it right back to the pitcher, right? Great approach from the Yankees. Small ball. A sack bunt in the first inning, a sack bunt in the fourth inning. Both of them helping the team score their four runs. Yeah, they only got to Lugo twice in the first and the fourth, and that was more than enough because Rodon was sensational and the Yankees bullpen was as well. The Yankees bullpen, the relievers, six outs, five of them via the punch-out. 913-586-7610. Again, that's the phone number, 913-586-7610. You let me know if there's something deeper to this one other than one good team beat another good team. If you want to say one great team beat a good team, that's fine. I'm not going to fight you on that. I've said it before. I look at the Yankees, the Phillies, and eventually the Dodgers, right? Post-trade deadline, the Dodgers will be there as well. You know, they're the three teams that I think are in a class by themselves. Now, the Royals are in that very next tier with about a dozen other squads. But if I'm off base, you let me know if there's something deeper to dive into, something that we need to dissect, some flaw that was exposed tonight by the Pinstripers, you let me know. 913-586-7610. If that's not the story, man, I hate to say it, but Hunter Renfro's the story. Fouls two balls off of his left big toe. The first one he thinks fractured the toe, and come to find out, oh yeah, that bad boy's busted up. So very unfortunate because, A, it was a great at-bat, a 12-pitch at-bat to lead off that third inning. A tenth of the pitches thrown tonight by Carlos Rodon were right there in that at-bat by Hunter Renfro, which is, you know, so very baseball. He battles, he breaks his toe, and he goes down staring at 98 right down the gut. That's one of those punch-outs where you just want to... If I'm sitting up here in the press box, and this is before I knew that his toe was broken. I'm walking off the field. I'm quitting after that. You're telling me I battle you for 12 pitches and I'm going to go out because you decide to throw your hardest pitch of the night right down the gut and I stare at it. My foot's throbbing. Man. Well, I guess some of you are probably going to get your wish, right? You're going to see Drew Waters replace Hunter Renfro. I know a lot of you have wanted to see that for months. Well, maybe not anymore now that he carried a 9-game hitting streak into this one. That hitting streak is no more, and I would imagine the month of June for Hunter Renfro in the big leagues is no more, but we'll find out tomorrow. We'll find out more. Phone lines are open for you, 913-586-7610. We're going to start off with Chris. Chris was one of the 24,000 in attendance tonight. Chris, what do you got for us?
Hey, Vern. Thanks for taking my call. I was curious your thoughts. You mentioned it with the Yankees playing small ball, you know, sacrificing, moving players over. I think it was the fourth or fifth inning the Royals had first and second, nobody out, and then we grounded into a double play. Do you think small ball is a recipe for success for the Royals, or do you think they should just keep trying to hit the ball hard? I'd love to hear your thoughts. Thanks.
No, and I think they've done a pretty good job of playing small ball. But, you know, down 4-0, I'm trying to get a little bit more. You know, down 4-0, Freddie Fermin has been sensational this season. Right, Freddie, even following tonight's a 301 hitter when his name's in the starting lineup. He grounds into the second double play of his night. But you still had a chance to tack one on. Right, MJ Melendez comes to the dish with a man on third and two outs. Royals down 4-0, and he flies out to the opposite field. A tough matchup for MJ, of course, right? He was on the bench to start the game facing a lefty in Rodon. Renfro breaks his toe, and Melendez gets the call. And you know, no surprise, you take a look at the way that Rodon handled things in both the fifth and the seventh. His third outs come via MJ Melendez. And there's a reason why there were no lefties in the lineup to start this game, and why when a lefty did enter the lineup in this game, Carlos Rodon had a way of finding them. Thanks for the phone call. 913-586-7610. We head out to Topeka. Brett, you're next up on 610 Sports Radio. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern, just wanted to, you know, one of my buddies called in a couple years ago, and he was complaining about MJ Melendez's body language. And, you know, I know it's tough coming off the bench and whatever, but, I mean, 165, something like that. Like, I mean, lefty-lefty, I get it, but how much long? I mean, Drew Waters is killing it in AAA. Like, just wanted to hear your take. How much longer are we going to keep doing this?
Yeah, appreciate the phone call, Brett. Man, MJ. Like, man. MJ Melendez, who, by the way, hit a game-tying two-run home run just about 24 hours ago, just over 24 hours ago. What have you done for me lately, says Brett in Topeka. If you're just joining us, Hunter Renfro broke his toe, his left big toe, and you know what? I'm going to get into my little batter stance right here, and that left big toe, boy, that's your plant foot. Good night. You're going to see Drew Waters, I would imagine, replacing Hunter Renfro on the roster. So who else? Yeah, you lose Renfro, and now you want to kick MJ out too? All right. MJ's not going, well, you know what? Who knows? Personally, I don't think MJ's going anywhere, especially with the loss of Hunter Renfro. Appreciate the phone call, Brett. 913-586-7610. Right, that was yesterday that MJ hit the game-tying two-run home run, right? And then it was Friday that he hit the three-run blast that got the Royals back in that game where they were down 8-0. And then the only time you beat Cleveland in that series was when MJ showed some pretty skillful base running. He's played a pretty solid left field as well. MJ's not the problem, okay? Now, is he the reason why you're 39 and 28? No. He's not one of the main reasons why. No, he's probably not even one of the top 20 reasons. But he's not killing you. I think overall he's a push at worst. Defensively, base paths. Yeah, no doubt the offense is down, but the Royals' offense is very much up. I know, yes, they scored two runs tonight. They were held to two runs for the first time since May 28th. That's what, 2 weeks ago? A 10-game stretch in which they scored three runs or more in every single game. They're one of the 10 best offenses in Major League Baseball. I just don't see the need to tinker right now. I don't see a team that is slipping, that is losing confidence, and we got to do something to jolt them back to life. No, what I saw tonight was the best team in Major League Baseball outlast another really good team in Major League Baseball? There's a phone line open for you, 913-586-7610. Royals lose 4-2 in game one of this four-game series. Stay tuned. Coming up, I'll give you a chance to win tickets to see tomorrow night's game. But we get back to your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to Burns Postgame Show on your home for Royals baseball, 610 Sports Radio, and the Odyssey app.
All right, we might have to just wrap this show up right now. Royals lose 4-2. I'm not laughing at the loss. I'm bummed out at the loss. I'm not bummed out. I'm not. I'm sorry. Listen, here's why I'm... I'm not even going to say disappointed. Anxious for tomorrow. How about that? The reason why I'm anxious now for tomorrow is because, I thought this was the one. I'm not getting caught up on, you got to split, you got to win the series. Nah, I'm not worried about that right now. This team's built up enough equity with their great month of April, great month of June. We understand they're in the gauntlet right now. Even if you win this series against the Yankees and then you go get slapped by the Dodgers, how good are you going to feel? Well, these games are all interesting tests. But the reason why I'm... possibly anxious moving forward is, and I thought this was the one game of the four where the pitching matchup is in Kansas City's favor. Now, I respect Carlos Rodon, right? He had won six straight starts coming into this one tonight. And shoot, we all remember Carlos Rodon going back to his days with the White Sox. He's been a top flight prospect, a top flight lefty when healthy throughout his career, for the most part. So I respect him, but shoot, man, you've watched what Seth Lugo's done this season. I mean, even tonight, even though he gives up four runs in seven innings of work, his ERA is still one of the 10 best in baseball. He leads the sport in innings pitched. Seth Lugo's been outstanding. Even tonight, another good start from Seth Lugo. 14 starts in. The guy hasn't had a bad outing yet. He's had a barely average outing. You look at that 5-0 lead he was given against the Cleveland Guardians on this recent road trip. Unable to make that hold up. But you know what? You dive into those at-bats, Cleveland had a great approach. Now, there were a few pitches. I think Josh Naylor got him on a pitch up in the zone. And certainly tonight, you look at him in the fourth inning, he was up to DJ LeMahieu, up to Jose Trevino. He wasn't perfect tonight, but he wasn't bad. He wasn't average. Seven innings of four-run baseballs above average. So to me, that's characterized as good. Seth Lugo on the hill was the game that, man, if they're going to win one, I think it's going to be this one. That's not to say that Brady Singer can't outpitch Marcus Stroman. And we've seen Brady Singer get big against the Yankees before. I think it was, a couple of years ago? Seven strong against the Pinstripers here at Kauffman Stadium in front of more than 30,000. Now, you know how I feel about Brady Singer. But the way I feel about Brady Singer, man, I also feel that way about Marcus Stroman. Those are two high-energy, raw emotion righties out there. I can't wait for tomorrow. But I like tonight's pitching matchup more. Daniel Lynch with an opener in front of him against Cody Poteet on Wednesday night. I don't know. We'll see. Alec Marsh against Nestor Cortez on Thursday afternoon. I'm going to lean Nasty Nestor. So, yeah, okay. I'm a little anxious moving forward because my only request was, not even a request, a declarative statement, you can't get swept at home. You can't get swept in a four-game series at home. I still feel that way. I don't believe that the Royals are going to get swept. But the reason why I come out of the break laughing is, now, from the 816, let me just read you this one text. And if this is how you guys are handling a loss to the best team in Major League Baseball on the 10th of June with your team owning the 7th best record in Major League Baseball, you're in for a bumpy summer. From the 816, Vern, I'm so sick of Salvi having a good time with the Yankees players at first. Go join them if you like them that much. Sir, ma'am. Is this the first time you watched Salvi play baseball? You ever seen the 34-year-old now? Have you ever seen him play baseball before? The guy hasn't stopped smiling in a decade. He'll talk to anybody that makes it to first base. What are you talking about? Text line's always open for you, but we might have to close it. The text line number is the same as the phone number. It's 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. Andrew from Lenexa was in the building tonight. He was one of the more than 24,000 that saw the Royals fall 4-2 to the Yankees. Andrew, what's going on, buddy?
You know, love the game, love the energy late night. Curious what you think about Lugo's regression, slight regression, not a lot. What do you think from the bullpen getting involved earlier? And all-righty lineup, do you think Vinny's got to find a spot at some point in there? I know he did late. It just didn't work out, but I think he gets in earlier than he needs to be.
Okay, gotcha. Appreciate the phone call. Listen, that all-righty lineup, that's very in line with how Matt Quatrero has put together his lineups, how this organization has put up their put together their lineups all season. You know, it's like getting frustrated with late-game pinch hitting. This is who he's been. This is who they've been since the start of last year, or at least since the front office was able to deliver the type of roster that Matt Quatrero and this coaching staff require. So, ideally, Vinny gets to a place where it's automatic. Dude's in the lineup no matter who he's facing. Yeah, that's the dream scenario, but I certainly wasn't shocked. You know, you look at the numbers, what do the splits say? OPS against righties is more than 100 points higher. Lefties with an OPS below 600, righties with an OPS against Carlos Rodon north of 700. So, no, I didn't have an issue with that. You wanted to go to the bullpen earlier because of Seth Lugo's regression. Man, I don't see that regression. Well, I mean, I guess I do, but I never thought he was going to maintain a sub-2 ERA. Did you? He still has one of the 10 best ERAs. He leads Major League Baseball in innings. Right, tonight was his 14th start. It's the sixth time he's gone at least seven. He's gone at least six innings in a Major League most 12 of his 14 starts. This dude's given you almost 6 2/3 every time he takes the ball. I'm sorry, man. I mean, you can call back or explain yourself a little bit more, but I'm not seeing that regression. Gave up 2 runs in the first, 2 runs in the fourth, and had 3 base runners outside of that? 2 singles and a walk. I'm not seeing that regression. And I don't know what bullpen you've been watching, but I'm not screaming for the bullpen to come into the game any sooner than it did tonight. Shout out Dan Altavilla, making his Royals debut, needing 12 pitches to retire Verdugo, LeMahieu, and Trent Grisham, including a pair of punchouts. The 31-year-old back in the big leagues for the first time since 2021. Let's go back to the phone calls, 913-586-7610. Hey, Andrew, I'm not saying you're wrong on any of those things, just giving you my opinion. Frank in Leawood, you're next up on the postgame show. I see you were at the game as well. Did you have a good time tonight, Frank?
Oh, yeah, we had a good time. We actually got on the Jumbotron, too. First time I've ever done that. So,
was it the filter? Did you have, like, the sunglasses on? Were you on the filter cam?
No, not the filter cam. I didn't make that one. But my thoughts are kind of along the line with yours. Although Lugo tonight, I would think if you talk to him, if you really give him a truth serum, not his best stuff, but he wasn't bad by any means. I mean, it wasn't his best start of the season. Wasn't terrible. You know, they just kind of got out baseball tonight. They just kind of got beat by a better team. And, Vinny misses that home run by 12 feet. When he first hit it, I thought it was gone. And then I realized where he hit it to the ballpark at. And I was like, nah, that's not out. So if he hits that ball down the line, it's out. If he hits the ball middle of the outfield, it's out. But he hit it to almost dead center. So it just didn't have enough to get out. We had opportunities to to make the, to tie this game up, to come back. Just didn't get the enough hits at timely when we needed them. The bullpen was good tonight. They came in and did their job. Shout out to the guy that I forgot his name. You just said his name earlier, but the guy that just came in to
Dan Altavilla. Yep,
Altavilla. Yeah, that's his name. He came in, pitched the seventh, I think, or the eighth, and shut him down. And I mean, they just didn't have enough timely hits tonight. You got out baseball. Lugo didn't have his best stuff, and you know, when you're playing against the best team in baseball, that if you don't play your best game and they play their best game, you're going to lose. So, but there's nothing to get down. We have the problems that we had last year where we couldn't even win games and people were complaining this team was terrible. Now people are texting in saying that the biggest problem we have is that Salvi's over on first base cutting up with the Yankees. That's rich people problems compared to what we had last year. We couldn't even play fundamental baseball last year and be competitive. And it's a 180 and people are finding the stupidest stuff to complain about. Just enjoy the team as much as you can and buy in. My whole thing was last year we didn't play fundamental little league baseball. We were booting the ball around the infield, playing terrible. So this year we're playing good baseball, and people are complaining because Salvi's over talking to the guy at first base. Get out of here. I mean, this is ridiculous. Enjoy what we're going through, and let's make a run of this postseason, and let's get going.
Love it. Frank, thanks for the phone call, and I'll say it, and I've said it before. 90 to 95% of Royals fans are loving it, are enjoying it, are able to flip the page, probably are not listening to this right now because why would I listen to that bald idiot scream after my favorite team lost? It's just going to be a bunch of whining. And I don't think most Royals fans are in the mood to whine. Frank, I think most are with you. Honestly, when you were giving your synopsis of the game, I was very much nodding. I mean, top to bottom, what you had to say about Seth Lugo, yeah, you're 100% right. As a matter of fact, let's hear what Seth Lugo had to say after the game as he was speaking with the media. Following seven innings of four-run baseball, eight hits, only one walk, only four strikeouts, here's Seth Lugo, courtesy of Bally Sports, Kansas City.
I thought I threw the ball well. Knew the state of our pen, so going through seven innings was pretty good. Just gave a bunch of singles. Felt like early in the game I was getting squeezed a little bit, but still made some good pitches, so I was happy with that. And, just try to build off that and move forward.
What's the balance? I mean, you didn't do any damage after you with all the singles, but still just being able to string some together. I mean, what do you take away, I guess, from those two innings there?
Well, it's a good lineup. We all knew that coming in that, it's a good team and they're hot. I think it's a matter of game plan just to try to mix it up just a little bit better. But, overall, I thought I threw the ball well, and I'll tip my hat to, some good approaches over there.
Like there was a couple maybe low ones you couldn't get early, squeezing that way a little bit. When you're in the middle of that, how do you just put that out and just try to go about what your game plan was to start with?
Well, it's frustrating, I'm not going to lie. But as I walked out there for the second, I could tell I was still a little hot from it. And, the few extra seconds I get in between innings after I'm finished warming up, I really tried to clear my head and just keep making those pitches, hoping I get the call.
There you go. That's Seth Lugo following a loss. Only a second loss of the season. And yeah, I believe it was the second pitch to Ryan Verdugo with two on and one out. He's ahead in the count, 0-1, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, he got squeezed on that second pitch. Could have been 0-2. Who knows how much that inning has changed. But there you go. There's the reaction of Seth Lugo, and I wouldn't fight him on it. I agree with what Frank had to say. No, he wasn't at his best. But he certainly wasn't bad. He wasn't average. He was good. He's been good in all 14 starts this season. New York owns the best record in baseball again, and you saw why tonight. From Rodon to the offense's approach, to the willingness to lay down the sacrifice bunt, to what the Yankees did in their two innings out of the bullpen. Six outs, five via the punch-out. Speaking of the bullpen, Sam Long. How about Sam Long needs eight pitches to retire the side in the ninth? He maintains a perfect ERA. 0.00, 8 1/3 innings, yet to allow an earned run. Shoot, he's only allowed six base runners total. Set out to Spring Hill. Talk with Marshall. You're next up on the postgame show. What's going on, man?
Vern, I'm driving home from the game. Fantastic evening with a big crowd for a Monday night. And I continue to look at Twitter and hear people on the text line, the call line, be very upset with every time we lose. I listen in every week. Two things that drive me nuts. One, the MJ Melendez discussion. He is too valuable and too versatile of an outfielder and as a hitter. We know what he can do as a hitter. And we're calling for his head. That'd be like saying, let's send Vinny down to AAA because he's in a two-game slump. Like, there's too much upside to hold him out of the system. Exactly. Yeah. What are we doing? The second thing that drives me nuts, I've seen it tonight on Twitter, like I mentioned, the Seth Lugo thing about how he's had a bad night. I mean, what's the two cardinal rules of being a starting pitcher? Do not give up the long ball, and don't give up hard hit balls into gaps. He gave up eight hits tonight. Every single one of them was off the nub of the batter, a chopper up the middle. What more can you ask? Sometimes you lose to a crummy game of crummy hit balls that just get lucky. And that's what I watched happen from behind the plate tonight. So I'll listen off air. Thanks for taking the time, Bert.
Yeah, thanks for placing that phone call, Marshall, and sliding in that he had seats right behind home plate, too. Way to go. Phone lines open for you, 913-586-7610. I'm with you. Text line is saying that I'm wrong, that most Royals fans are not positive. From the 816, Vern, I sat in front of an entire row of dudes that complained and moaned the entire game. I don't know what game they were watching, but... Yeah. All right. Maybe now, you know what? I know I'm not wrong. I talk to Royals fans every single day out here on the concourse at Kauffman Stadium, and 19 out of every 20 that I talk to are in a really good mood. And then every once in a while, I run into Rally Mantis, who writes in on the text line. He's not a fan of MJ Melendez. I'm not going to read it all, but you know where that stuff goes. 913-586-7610. Okay, B from Surprise, Arizona writes in, Vern, I know it's bad form to blame the umpires, but I still feel like they took a couple of chances away from us tonight. I agree. Yeah, I'm with you. But I think that's most nights, truthfully. Maybe tonight stands out a little bit more. You know, Seth Lugo made mention of it, talked about the frustration building up in that first inning. So, yeah, B, I don't think you're that far off. Well, we know Mac Quatrero was quite frustrated with the first base umpire missing a balk call on Carlos Rodon and then incorrectly saying that Tyrone Blanco went on the bunt attempt later on in the game. Home plate umpire Scott Barry, first base umpire Paul Clements are the individuals that we're talking about. Royals lose 4-2. They're now 4.5 games back of the Cleveland Guardians in the American League Central. We'll get back to your thoughts and head back inside that clubhouse after this.
You're listening to Burns Post Game Show on your home for Royals baseball, 610 Sports Radio, and the Odyssey app.
4-2, the final score. Yankees grab game one. Game two comes your way tomorrow. Brady Singer and Marcus Stroman. Phone lines are open, 913-586-7610. Let's head out to Cleveland. Talk with Jeff. You're next up on the postgame show. Jeff, go ahead, buddy.
Hey, good evening, Vern. And I'm calling. Obviously, I'm a Guardians fan. However, I'm calling to commend the Royals. There are some idiots here who thought that what you guys were doing out there was not sustainable, and that just shows their lack of knowledge as far as baseball is concerned. This is going to be something that's going to go on year-round. You guys show your scrappiness on Friday while the Guardians were losing, and I kept checking the score. I said, well, at least the Royals, they're down 8-0, so we won't lose any ground. And the next thing I know, the Royals came back and won 10-9, so that just showed the metal that your team has. Your starting pitching with Reagans and Lugo and Lynch, and then when you guys get Walker back, that's nothing to play with. You know, you get, as you know, I'm not telling you something that you don't know. You do have the issues with the bullpen. but I would love to have your starting staff here to go along with our bullpen. So the thing that I like about this is that the AL Central Division was considered to be a joke of the division before the season started, and now it contains two teams in it that are in the top seven in baseball record-wise. So take that American League West, take that other than the Yankees and the Orioles, take that AL East, and also all the National League divisions that only have one team over 500 in each of those divisions. So kudos to the Royals, and, you know, this is going to be an interesting summer this summer.
No doubt about it. Thank you very much for the phone call. That opens up a phone line for you. 913-586-7610. Let's take a look at the text line real quick. Steve from North Kansas City. Vern, if Drew Waters is not recalled to take Hunter Renfro's spot on the roster, then his time in Kansas City is over. I want to see him head south on I-29 and get his Major League Baseball career restarted with a flurry. Yeah, that'd be nice. I'm certainly expecting that to be the move. As if you missed it, Hunter Renfro fractured his left big toe in a 12-pitch battle with Carlos Rodon in the third inning. And then he went back out and played right field in a, 14-pitch fourth inning? And he had to move, too. He had to move a bunch, right? LeMahieu singles to center. Trevino's two-run single was to center field. A single to right from Oswaldo Cabrera, and then the final out of that fourth inning was a Anthony Volpe fly ball that landed in the glove of Hunter Renfro and might be the last ball to land in Hunter Renfro's glove for a few weeks, you'd think, but I'm just an idiot on the radio. What do I know about anything when it comes to health? Nothing. Thanks for the phone call. 913-586-7610. Steve, thanks for listening. Thanks for the text message. If you're wondering, Drew Waters this season in Omaha hitting .277. That's 21 points higher than league average in the league. The AAA league in which Omaha plays in. And his OPS of .834 is just over 50 points higher than league average. I'm excited to see what he can do. I'm hoping that he starts off well, can build some confidence. Because you got to think about how intimidating that is to walk into a clubhouse with a team 11 games above .500 that, you know, Nick Lofton was here on opening day. I know he went back down to Omaha, which, by the way, since returning, he's hitting .333 in those 12 games. He has more walks than strikeouts since returning from Omaha. But you got to think about how intimidating it is walking into that clubhouse with a bunch of tight-knit winners that are all willing to sacrifice themselves for the betterment of the team. Drew Waters is still trying to make a name for himself in the big leagues. He's trying to stick in the big leagues. It hopefully is easy for him to think team first, and ultimately that will lead to individual success. It's easy to say that, but when you're the one standing there in the box, fighting for your life, fighting for your career, man, it's hard to think about anybody but yourself. Yeah, I'm hoping that he can make an impact. He can do something to help the team win pretty quickly. To where he's a part of that post-game celebration, and he knows he's a main reason why we're celebrating in the clubhouse after this win. Could go a long way and could really catapult him and catapult him into a breakout 2024, because and the young man has all the talent in the world. He can do a little bit of everything. He at least has the ability to. Can he do it consistently at the big league level? That's the question. That's one of the most difficult things to do in sports. We'll see. Tony writes in, Vern, it looked like our boys were somewhat intimidated for the first five innings by the New York letters on the opponent's uniform. But after a few hits and a run scored, they then realized the Yanks are not invincible. I'm looking for a different mindset the next three games, signed Tony. Always interesting observations from you, Tony. I appreciate it, buddy. This is from Matt in Arizona, who's bummed out for Hunter Renfro, but impressed by Bobby Witt Jr. In that, you know, Bobby, since May 12th. Okay, well, I can't fact check these statistics, so I'm just going to take you at your word, Matt. Matt says that since May 12th, Hunter Renfro had an OPS of 941. Bobby had an OPS of 933. Is that right? That's surprising. I don't know about that. Well, you know what? Why not? Sure. Yeah, you're right, Matt. Why not? I don't know. Matt's hoping that Dairon Blanco, Andrew Waters, both get more opportunities moving forward with the injury to Hunter Renfro. Hey, Bobby, by the way, he's hitting .388 over the course of this season-high 11-game hitting streak. Has 12 RBI in that 11-game hitting streak. Bobby tonight with an RBI double with two outs in the eighth inning to cut it to a two-run game. 913-586-7610. Let's go to Garrett in Olathe. Garrett, you're on the postgame show. Go ahead.
Thanks for taking my phone call, Vern. I was one of the 21,000 out there, and for the first innings, I was kind of bummed out, but then after that, I was kind of excited, and MJ Melendez, you know, his offensive numbers don't say it all, but I want you to, what about Tyler Gentry? I don't really know if he'll replace MJ, but, like, how about, like, have him as a backup bat? Thanks for taking my phone call, though.
Appreciate the phone call. Thanks for placing it. I don't know about Gentry. Again, you know, I gave you Waters' numbers. Both his batting average and his OPS are well above league average. You know, Tyler Gentry, who many of us were hoping that the former third-round pick would have a breakout 2024. But the 25-year-old's hitting .172 with an OPS in the 500s. Well below league average. Well below league average. So, you know, keep plugging away. You really have no other option. Now, he is on the 40-man roster, so I understand why you bring it up, Garrett, but I think Drew Waters is more than enough. Or, no, let me put it this way. Drew Waters has earned the opportunity, more so than, in my opinion, than Tyler Gentry has. And Dairon Blanco and Garrett Hampson and MJ Melendez and Adam Frazier and the rest. I'm not looking to replace any of them with Tyler Gentry, but I appreciate you listening, Garrett. A few more from the text line. Derek in Midtown writes in, Vern, they got that new pitcher up from Omaha, and every pitch he threw was a strike if the umpire wasn't blind. Yeah, a lot of hate coming in for the home plate umpire tonight. Shane from Columbia says his wife and I were at the game tonight. Can we talk about the $8 bottled waters? Is that right? Is that what they're running? Well, I know that, don't they have, it's right outside my little booth here. And, like, there's this big jug of water. I don't know if it's only for the workers, but no, I mean, if you're parched, you can come grab a little paper cup, fill it up, and knock it back. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I would imagine that's the going rate. You know, I went to a concert recently at Sprint Center, and everything, I swear, was $10. And no matter what you were, I mean, water, I guess, is the cheapest. And yeah, I think that's about $8, $10. Hey, man, I'm with you. I'm not making any money off of it. I'm not going to. What are we going to do about it? In the new stadium, it's going to be $8 there. It might be $8.50 at the new stadium, to be honest with you. Big Bill in Lawrence writes in, Vern, can we please address the walking garbage fire of a person behind home plate? Oh my gosh, talking about the umpire again. The walking garbage fire of a man behind home plate. Good Lord. I haven't heard that description in a while. Shout out Scott Berry, the home plate umpire. Put a name on it. From the 913, was at the game tonight. Perfect weather to catch a game with my mother on her 77th birthday. Oh, well, that's terrific. Happy birthday. Royals fans are not positive. From the 816, Vern, I sat in front of an entire row of dudes that complained and moaned the entire game. I don't know what game they were watching, but... yeah, all right. Maybe now, you know what? I know I'm not wrong. I talk to Royals fans every single day out here on the concourse at Kauffman Stadium, and 19 out of every 20 that I talk to are in a really good mood. And then every once in a while, I run into Rally Mantis, who writes in on the text line. He's not a fan of MJ Melendez. I'm not going to read it all, but you know where that stuff goes. 913-586-7610. Okay, B from Surprise, Arizona writes in, Vern, I know it's bad form to blame the umpires, but I still feel like they took a couple of chances away from us tonight. I agree. Yeah, I'm with you. But I think that's most nights, truthfully. Maybe tonight stands out a little bit more. You know, Seth Lugo made mention of it, talked about the frustration building up in that first inning. So, yeah, B, I don't think you're that far off. Well, we know Mac Quatrero was quite frustrated with the first base umpire missing a balk call on Carlos Rodon and then incorrectly saying that Tyrone Blanco went on the bunt attempt later on in the game. Home plate umpire Scott Barry, first base umpire Paul Clements are the individuals that we're talking about. Royals lose 4-2. They're now 4.5 games back of the Cleveland Guardians in the American League Central. We'll get back to your thoughts and head back inside that clubhouse after this.
You're listening to Burns Post Game Show on your home for Royals baseball, 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
4-2, the final score. Yankees grab game one. Game two comes your way tomorrow. Brady Singer and Marcus Stroman. Phone lines are open, 913-586-7610. Let's head out to Cleveland. Talk with Jeff. You're next up on the postgame show. Jeff, go ahead, buddy.
Hey, good evening, Aaron. And I'm calling. Obviously, I'm a Guardians fan. However, I'm calling to commend the Royals. There are some idiots here who thought that what you guys were doing out there was not sustainable, and that just shows their lack of knowledge as far as baseball is concerned. This is going to be something that's going to go on year-round. You guys show your scrappiness on Friday. While the Guardians were losing, and I kept checking the score, I said, well, at least the Royals, they're down 8-0, so we won't lose any ground. And the next thing I know, the Royals came back and won 10-9, so that just showed the metal that your team has. Your starting pitching with Reagans and Lugo and Lynch, and then when you guys get Walker back, that's nothing to play with. You know, you get, as you know, I'm not telling you something that you don't know. You do have the issues with the bullpen, but I would love to have your starting staff here to go along with our bullpen. So the thing that I like about this is that the AL Central division was considered to be a joke of a division before the season started, and now it contains two teams in it that are in the top seven in baseball record-wise. So take that, American League West, take that, other than the Yankees and the Orioles, take that AL East, and also all the National League divisions that only have one team over 500 in each of those divisions. So kudos to the Royals, and you know, this is going to be an interesting summer this summer.
No doubt about it. Thank you very much for the phone call. That opens up a phone line for you. 913-586-7610. Let's take a look at the text line real quick. Steve from North Kansas City. Vern, if Drew Waters is not recalled to take Hunter Renfro's spot on the roster, then his time in Kansas City is over. I want to see him head south on I-29 and get his Major League Baseball career restarted with a flurry. Yeah, that'd be nice. I'm certainly expecting that to be the move, as if you missed it, Hunter Renfro fractured his left big toe in a 12-pitch battle with Carlos Rodon in the third inning. And then he went back out and played right field in a, a 14-pitch fourth inning? Yeah, and he had to move, too. He had to move a bunch, right? LeMahieu singles to center. Trevino's two-run single was to center field. A single to right from Oswaldo Cabrera, and then the final out of that fourth inning was a Anthony Volpe fly ball that landed in the glove of Hunter Renfro and might be the last ball to land in Hunter Renfro's glove for a few weeks, you'd think, but I'm just an idiot on the radio. What do I know about anything when it comes to health? Nothing. Thanks for the phone call. 913-586-7610. Steve, thanks for listening. Thanks for the text message. If you're wondering, Drew Waters this season in Omaha hitting .277. That's 21 points higher than league average in the league. The AAA league in which Omaha plays in. And his OPS of .834 is just over 50 points higher than league average. I'm excited to see what he can do. I'm hoping that he starts off well, can build some confidence. Because you got to think about how intimidating that is to walk into a clubhouse with a team 11 games above .500 that, you know, for the moment, I mean, Nick Lofton was here on opening day. I know he went back down to Omaha, which, by the way, since returning, he's hitting .333 in those 12 games. He has more walks than strikeouts since returning from Omaha. But you got to think about how intimidating it is walking into that clubhouse with a bunch of tight-knit winners that are all willing to sacrifice themselves for the betterment of the team. Drew Waters is still trying to make a name for himself in the big leagues. He's trying to stick in the big leagues. It hopefully is easy for him to think team first, and ultimately that will lead to individual success. It's easy to say that, but when you're the one standing there in the box, fighting for your life, fighting for your career, man, it's hard to think about anybody but yourself. Yeah, I'm hoping that he can make an impact. He can do something to help the team win pretty quickly, to where he's a part of that post-game celebration and he knows he's a main reason why we're celebrating in the clubhouse after this win. Could go a long way and could really catapult him and catapult him into a breakout 2024, because and the young man has all the talent in the world. He can do a little bit of everything. He at least has the ability to. Can he do it consistently at the big league level? That's the question. That's one of the most difficult things to do in sports. We'll see. Tony writes in, Vern, it looked like our boys were somewhat intimidated for the first five innings by the New York letters on the opponent's uniform. But after a few hits and a run scored, they then realized the Yanks are not invincible. I'm looking for a different mindset the next three games, signed Tony. Always interesting observations from you, Tony. I appreciate it, buddy. This is from Matt in Arizona, who's bummed out for Hunter Renfro, but impressed by Bobby Witt Jr. In that, you know, Bobby, since May 12th. Okay, well, I can't fact check these statistics, so I'm just going to take you at your word, Matt. Matt says that since May 12th, Hunter Renfro had an OPS of .941. Bobby had an OPS of .933. Is that right? That's surprising. I don't know about that. Well, you know what? Why not? Sure. Yeah, you're right, Matt. Why not? I don't know. Matt's hoping that Dairon Blanco and Drew Waters both get more opportunities moving forward with the injury to Hunter Renfro. Hey, Bobby, by the way, he's hitting .388 over the course of this season-high 11-game hitting streak. Has 12 RBI in that 11-game hitting streak. Bobby tonight with an RBI double with two outs in the eighth inning to cut it to a two-run game. 913-586-7610. Let's go to Garrett in Olathe. Garrett, you're on the postgame show. Go ahead.
Thanks for taking my phone call, Vern. I was one of the 21,000 out there, and for the first innings, I was kind of bummed out, but then after that, I was kind of excited, and MJ Melendez, you know, his offensive numbers don't say it all, but I want you to, what about Tyler Gentry? I don't really know if he'll replace MJ, but like, How about him as a backup bat? Thanks for taking my phone call,
bro. Thanks for placing it. I don't know about Gentry. Again, you know, I gave you Waters' numbers. Both his batting average and his OPS are well above league average. You know, Tyler Gentry, who many of us were hoping that the former third-round pick would have a breakout 2024. But the 25-year-old's hitting .172 with an OPS in the 500s. Well below league average. So, you know, keep plugging away. You really have no other option. Now, he is on the 40-man roster, so I understand why you bring it up, Garrett. But no, I think Drew Waters is more than enough. Or, no, let me put it this way. Drew Waters has earned the opportunity. More so than, in my opinion, than Tyler Gentry has. And Dairon Blanco and Garrett Hampson and MJ Melendez and Adam Frazier and the rest. I'm not looking to replace any of them with Tyler Gentry, but I appreciate you listening, Garrett. A few more from the text line. Derek in Midtown writes in, Vern, they got that new pitcher up from Omaha, and every pitch he threw was a strike if the umpire wasn't blind. A lot of hate coming in for the home plate umpire tonight. Shane from Columbia says his wife and I were at the game tonight. Can we talk about the $8 bottled waters? Is that right? Is that what they're running? Well, I know that. Don't they have, it's right outside my little booth here. And like this big jug of water. I don't know if it's only for the workers, but no, I mean, if you're parched, you can come grab a little paper cup, fill it up, and knock it back. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I would imagine that's the going rate. I went to a concert recently at Sprint Center, and everything, I swear, was $10. And no matter what you were, I mean, water, I guess, is the cheapest, and yeah, I think that's about $8, $10. Hey, man, I'm with you. I'm not making any money off of it. I'm not going to... What are we going to do about it? In the new stadium, it's going to be $8 there. It might be $8.50 at the new stadium, to be honest with you. Big Bill in Lawrence writes in, Vern, can we please address the walking garbage fire of a person behind home plate? Oh, my gosh. Talking about the umpire again. The walking garbage fire of a man behind home plate. Good Lord. I haven't heard that description in a while. Shout out Scott Berry, the home plate umpire. Put a name on it. From the 913, was at the game tonight. Perfect weather to catch a game with my mother on her 77th birthday. Oh, well, that's terrific. Happy birthday, Mom. It was perfect weather, man. There was a point in the fourth and fifth inning where I'm saying, I think this might be the best night of the year. So far, it was absolutely gorgeous out there. Appreciate you listening. 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. Here's a shout-out to the Royals for hooking a bunch of youth players and coaches up from the Royals Development Leagues. Olathe Parks and Rec, Olathe Youth Baseball, hooked them all up with free tickets. Tons of Little Leaguers out there in their jerseys tonight, Vern. It was great to see from the 913. Yeah, I noticed that. I didn't know that the Royals hooked them up. That's pretty cool, no doubt. Appreciate that. Well, speaking of hooking you up, I have two tickets to tomorrow night's game. Brady Singer, Marcus Stroman, if you want to be in the building, let's say Royals lost by two. All right, second caller. How about that? Second caller, 913-586-7610. The tickets are yours tomorrow night, 7:10, for the first pitch as Brady Singer squares off with Marcus Stroman in game two of this four-game series. My game notes, by the way, as always, brought to you by Jay's Southland Tow. Be in the know and call Jay's Southland Tow. All right, we're back at it tomorrow. Bobby Witt Jr., Juan Soto, Aaron Judge, two of the four best teams in the American League, and two righties that want all the smoke. Brady Singer, Marcus Stroman, man, I can't wait for this one. 7:10 for the first pitch. I'll talk to you at 6, live from the K. Thanks for listening, Kansas City. Enjoy the rest of your Monday night. Take care.
You've been listening to Vern's postgame show.
Blast down the right field line. Hooking, stay fair, and gone. Past Pacino.
Check out the All Things Vern channel on 610sports.com and the Odyssey app to stay up to date with your boys in blue.
Deep left center, way back and gone. Another grand slam for Bobby Witt Jr.
On your home of the Royals, 610 Sports Radio. We now take you back to regularly scheduled programming.